And a pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Memphis, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Thursday afternoon and early evening. Yes, sunset is now around 4:35 locally in Boston, which means the show will go into the early evening hours every Thursday from here on out until next spring when the time moves forward an hour. But nonetheless, very excited, very happy to be here with you today as we are now in, what, day two of not knowing who will be the next president of the United States. Although right now it looks as if that Joe Biden, as of the recording of this show, may win the electoral vote and become president of the United States. That's if President Donald Trump does not throw himself into an actual crazy fit and decide that he wants to pursue legal action. But we'll see. Only time will tell. But speaking of that time will tell, the Red Sox still are without a manager. And as of 17 hours ago, there was a report out on RedSox.com that Sox flew out to Puerto Rico to meet with Alex Cora. And that's what we're going to start the show with. If you have any thoughts, feelings, opinions that you want to get off your chest and tell me, you're more than welcome to do so. Call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I mean, after all, it's a free country, right? However, I'm going to need you to get out of your bag. Get out of your feelings. Because just like who will be in the Oval Office come January 2021 is an anomaly right now. Not to mention who will be the Red Sox manager in 2020 is also an anomaly right now. But we'll see. We'll see. So it's been reported that the Red Sox flew out to Puerto Rico to meet with Alex Cora to interview him, talk to him about him possibly being the new manager, or should I say return as manager of the Boston Red Sox. Now, this was reported by Ian Browner. He's a writer for the Boston Red Sox for RedSox.com as of yesterday afternoon. He wrote, while the Red Sox have been more methodical than the White Sox and Tigers in filling in their managerial vacancy, they are making headway in their search, including a meeting in Puerto Rico last week with Alex Cora, a source confirmed to MLB.com. Chief Baseball Officer Chaim Bloom and General Manager Brian O'Halloran took part in a session with Cora, who managed the Red Sox in 2018-2019 and had a mutual parting of the ways with the club in January due to his involvement in the Astros sign-stealing scandal. The Boston Globe's Alex Speer was first to report that the club had an in-person meeting with Cora late last week, while Masses Live's Chris Cotillo was the first to report that it took place in Puerto Rico. Now, I find that to be super interesting that the Red Sox flew out to Puerto Rico to talk with Alex Cora. But what I also find interesting in this sequence, that if you are a Red Sox fan, if you are Red Sox Nation, you're asking yourself, who do you want as your manager in 2021? Do you want Alex Cora to be your guy? Do you want Alex Cora to return after all that was unearthed during the investigation of the Houston Astros cheating scandal of 2017. So with that being said, I'll pose this take for you to listen and digest. Do whatever you will. I think the Red Sox should go back and hire Alex Cora. And there's multiple reasons why I strongly feel this way. And that is because The Red Sox, they are in a rebuild. They have a young core that's in the prime of his career. You talk about Rafael Devers. You talk about guys such as Xander Bogaerts, who clearly is the face of the franchise now. You talk about guys such as Eduardo Rodriguez. You talk about Alex Verdugo. You talk about a team that is trending young but has a couple of bona fide stars in Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. So if you're the Boston Red Sox, and if you're a Red Sox fan and you're Red Sox Nation, would it make more sense to bring back Cora instead of going with a new guy? I will even go as far to say as I'd be very shocked and surprised if the Red Sox went to a new guy instead of going back with Alex Cora for this one reason. Whoever that new guy is that the Red Sox decide to bring back or bring forward to this new era in Red Sox baseball, I will tell you this. I do think that it will be interesting is if they turn around and picked from the other candidates that they interviewed, like Don Kelly, Pirates bench coach, Phillies director of integrative baseball performance, Sam Fuld, also a former major league player himself, Marlins bench coach James Rosen, and Yankees bench coach Carlos Mendoza. If they went with those guys, any of those guys instead of Cora, I'd be surprised. Because Cora already has, not only has he managed in the major leagues, but he already has a relationship with those guys. And for a roster that is not expected to be very good in 2021, why take the chance of bringing in someone new that in which you have to start all over? And on top of that, you have the uncertainty aspect in terms of, will those guys be able to adjust to the new manager? And will that new manager be able to get the most out of those players? Because those are real questions that have to be asked. And I will even go as far as if the Red Sox went with any of those guys that I mentioned, Don Kelly, Sam Fuld, James Rosen, and Carlos Mendoza, what do you think those guys will be able to accomplish with a less than stellar roster? Now, there are Red Sox fans out there that will say, well, each time the Red Sox have had a new manager, they've won the World Series in that first year with the new manager. True. But here's the difference. And I'm going to break it down to you. 2004, you had Terry Francona. That was not a team that was in a rebuild. That was a team that was already locked and loaded with stars, Hall of Famers. Well, soon to be Hall of Famers. I'm referring to David Ortiz. But you already had a Hall of Famer in Pedro Martinez, Curt Schilling. Whether you like him or hate him, he may very well get into the Hall of Fame in 2021, but that's a whole different discussion for another day. But you had likable guys like Trot Nixon, Kevin Millar. You had guys like Manny Ramirez in left field. You had Johnny Damon. You had, obviously, Jason Varitek, Red Sox Hall of Famer. You had a roster. You had a team that was already established. Established all-stars, established major leaguers. 2013, first year of John Farrell. As manager of the Boston Red Sox. Again, you can say what you will. You could say that, well, that was a team that caught lightning in the bottle because of the emotion of the Boston Marathon bombing. Say what you will. But that was also a team that had David Ortiz, who was scorching hot during that 2013 World Series. You also had John Lester, who was the ace of the pitching staff, Koji Uehara, as well, position guys. Xander Bogaerts was a rookie, was a young guy. You had Mike Napoli. You had guys in the outfield who could rake. Like, for example, Shane Victorino. You had all-stars on that ball club, start in the starting lineup and on the bench, who could come off the bench and produce. Jared Saltamacchia, he was your catcher. As well as, don't forget, you also had David Ross. So, although, and I'm going to get to 2018 in a moment. Although, 2021, if the Red Sox decided they're not going to go with Alex Cora, you're bringing in a new guy. And of course, the hope in Red Sox Nation would be, well, each new manager, they won the World Series in the first year. 2018, Alex Cora. But that was a Red Sox team that was absolutely stacked and coming off of back-to-back postseasons where they got eliminated in the first round. Both times by the very team that would go on to go to the World Series. 2016, Ortiz's final year. They get eliminated by the Cleveland Indians in the Division Series. 2017, they got eliminated by the Houston Astros. Asterisk. So 2018, they go out and they get J.D. Martinez. You already had an emerging Rafael Devers. Xander Bogaerts by this point was beginning to really come into his own as a player, as an everyday shortstop. Not to mention, you had Chris Sale going into year two in Boston. The ace. You had guys who could hit for power. You had guys who had the ability to hit with two strikes and two outs. This was a talented roster up and down. See what you will. But the fact of the matter is this. Even if they went back to Alex Cora, you still have an uphill battle that you're going to have to face. This roster in 2020, 2021, going into 2021, and I know the hostile season is very early. I get that fully. So a lot can happen. But we're at a point in time where the Red Sox, they're not there yet as being World Series contenders. Only time will tell. But they're not there right now. And then, let's look at this other factor here. If you're the Boston Red Sox and you do bring Alex Cora, great. You have the familiarity factor. Fair enough. But then you also have the factor in which that Alex Cora knows those young Cora guys that I mentioned. Devers, Bogaerts, Eduardo Rodriguez, Jackie Bradley Jr. He knows those guys. But then there's also this factor as well. You talk about a guy who has shown that he can get the most out of the roster. But then there's also the factor in which that this team is in a rebuild. The dynamics are not the same. But only time will tell. But that is a situation that I will be keeping an eye out for, because this is something in which that I know Red Sox fans are going to want to know. What do they do? What type of move does Chaim Bloom make during this offseason? In which that this is no normal offseason, and I'm using air quotes. This is an offseason where there's going to be a lot of questions in terms of the finances for Major Baseball that took a big hit financially during the pandemic, and especially given that they played in a short season with no fans. So there is question marks in terms of whether if this team will be able to go out and spend, not just this team, but any team, especially on the free agent market. But that remains to be seen. But what shouldn't be remain to be seen is that the Red Sox, they should, in fact, bring back Alex Cora for this one reason and one reason only. his familiarity with a number of players on this roster and his ability to get the most out of those guys. You go back to 2019. Now, 2019, I don't even put on the shoulders of Alex Cora in terms of the Red Sox failures to repeat or even get back to the postseason. That was solely on Dave Dombrowski. But even with that roster, Alex Cora was still able to get the most out of that team. And I think he will be able to do that with the same exact roster. But although with the circumstances being very different, but I do believe that the Red Sox will be better off with Alex Cora in the dugout in 2021. Coming up next, my, oh my, oh my, have the tide turned here in New England with the Patriots. Much more on that coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Always look forward to Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM.
Bringing you the hottest tracks from around the globe.
I always look forward to Rossano Radio.
With your host, FR, 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 FR. Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM
and live worldwide at WMFO.org.
Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio, only here on WMFO.
This is the city where danger lurks. Today, a new creature walks among us, causing fear, mayhem, and injury.
Stay back, children.
Mommy, I'm scared.
Look out for the dreaded digital deadwalkers. They're not looking out for you. With faces pressed against their little handheld devices, they put all good citizens in harm's way.
Hey, pal.
Pardon you.
The digital deadwalkers are multiplying. Until their behavior patterns can be modified, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons warns all innocent people to stay alert. Better yet, to step up and speak out.
Hey, dude, I'm walking here.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep everyone well connected with healthy bones.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list. or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for? Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Just want to give you a few reminders that you can listen to this show on demand on iHeartRadio. Yes, you can listen to this show as part of the Shukri Wright's podcast on iHeartRadio. You can also find this show and all archive broadcasts of the Shukri Wright Show on iHeartRadio, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the Anchor app. So you could listen to this show as it is broadcasted every Thursday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on 91.5 FM WMFO, or if you happen to miss the one-hour show, no problem. You can listen to it on demand on iHeartRadio, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the Anchor app as well. So as the world awaits what happens next in terms of the presidential election, as well as what happens next, because this seems to be one hell of a emotional roller coaster as a nation that we're basically going through right now. So I am absolutely intrigued to see how it all unfolds, especially with everything that's happening and the fact that, listen, I know there are people out there that are saying, well, is this supposed to be a sports talk show? I mean, yes, it is. But at the same time, we're not here to necessarily turn it into a political show. We're just talking about the fact that this is election week. And we knew that perhaps that the election was going to outweigh any sports stories that may have been happening during the week. And that's just the fact of the matter, especially when we talk about how important it was to get out and vote during this election year. And so far, the numbers have in fact shown that people have turned out in large numbers. So kudos to everybody who went out and voted, regardless of whom you voted for. And you took heed to the message, and that message was get out and vote. So kudos to you. In continuation of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO, I want to talk about how the New England Patriots, oh man, how times have changed dramatically. And when you talk about how the Patriots, now 2-5, they are in a bit of a precarious situation, a situation that they haven't found themselves in since 2000, something that they haven't been in 20 years. And this was before Brady was even the starting quarterback. And here was something that Patriot fans are just not accustomed to. Trust me, I get it. But I will say this, though. If you're looking for any particular person or any particular body that you're looking to blame, you should blame one man in particular. Who is that man? Mr. Bill Belichick. See, Cam Newton isn't entirely to blame. Cam Newton just happens to be the byproduct of a failed system, and as well as a failed system that Bill Belichick tried to convince everyone else that he could run successfully without Brady. And the results so far haven't been good. You know, For 20 years, you've had the security blanket of one Tom Brady. Tom Brady, the GOAT, greatest quarterback of all time. Greatest winning quarterback of all time. 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6 Super Bowl titles, countless memories, the Patriot way. A year too early is better than a year too late. Now, 3 years ago this month, yes, and I'm going to go back 3 years ago this month for a reason. Let's reflect on the events that took place halfway through the 2017 season. Brady, already in the midst of his MVP season. Jimmy Garoppolo, still a New England Patriot. Brady's backup. And clear heir apparent to Brady goes to Kraft and say, why is Garoppolo still here? Where's my loyalty? Kraft turns to Belichick and tells him to trade him. Belichick believed he had the guy. He had the guy. So what does he do? He trades him to San Francisco. Trades him to San Francisco. And what does he do? He gets back the least amount of return that he could have gotten, because what Cleveland was offering was they were offering more than what San Francisco offered at the time. So there's that aspect. There's that interesting dilemma of could Belichick have gotten more? Because remember at that time, 3 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, that was the talk on Boston Sports Radio. Could Belichick could have gotten a better deal from the Cleveland Browns or anywhere else in the AFC other than San Francisco? Clear answer was yes, as we now know. But the interesting part about it is, why San Francisco of all places? Because he thought Jimmy Garoppolo would be a perfect landing spot. There's your guy. So now, fast forward. Patriots get to another Super Bowl. Super Bowl 52 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Should have won that game if not for the benching of Malcolm Butler. And one backup quarterback named Nick Foles won MVP after Brady threw them for the most passing yards in a single Super Bowl, 505 yards. 505 yards and a loss. Brady's not happy. The team's not happy. 2018, a roller coaster of a regular season for the New England Patriots, but they finally turned it on during the final two regular season games of the season, get the first round bye, where we all know what happened. Patriots, they win the divisional round. They obviously win the AFC title game, that epic game in Kansas City. They win Super Bowl 53. They get to two more Super Bowls, Super Bowl 52 and Super Bowl 53. They won 53, they lost 52. Cool. And now, last season, they have a chance to seemingly repeat. Could they repeat? Can they win another title? Everything is seemingly going well so far, until they get exposed on Sunday Night Football against the Baltimore Ravens. And then they suffered another gut punching loss against the Kansas City Chiefs. All you had to do was beat Miami. That's all you had to do. Beat the Miami Dolphins, you get a first round bye. Couldn't even hold on to the lead late in the game. They lose that, and now they're playing an AFC wildcard weekend. First time since 2009, and guess what happens? Oh, yeah, they lose to the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry. And now here we are. Brady's gone. Belichick believed he had the guy. And then COVID happens. Brady leaves. Belichick is left having us believe Stidham's the guy. He's going to be the guy. No. Cam Newton gets signed on June 28th. He comes in. He doesn't even have the typical normal offseason to learn the Patriots offense. But in the first three games of the season, he looks good. But then he gets COVID. And then that whole debacle with COVID, the team has to play a rescheduled game that was supposed to be on a Sunday. They play it on a Monday. And then, I mean, you go back and you watch that the game against the Las Vegas Raiders. Ooh, man, oh man. Although it was a win, but still. But I really feel that at that point in time, you started to see some of the old Cam Newton come out. But the fact of the matter is this. The point is, you look at the way that this team was constructed. What was the number one criticism last season from the football pundits as well as Brady himself? Lack of skill at the skill position, wide receiver, and as well as the running back, the tight ends. No Gronk last season. Obviously, he's in Tampa Bay now. I'm very much well aware of that. That I could tell you. So I want to ask you this question, Patriot fans. With the ire and your feelings that you have currently, who do you blame for this failure of a season so far? And now your future is in doubt. Rex Ryan has come out on ESPN and said definitively, this dynasty is over. It's done. The only difference between that and what Trent Dilfer did in 2014 after the Patriots got embarrassed on Monday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs was that Brady was still here. As it turned out, he still had a lot left in the tank, and that was really the beginning. The first time we saw Jimmy Garoppolo and what he could potentially do here in New England. You saw glimpses of that in 2016 again, while Brady was serving his four-game suspension for Deflategate. So now here's the question. Do you see Jimmy Garoppolo returning to the New England Patriots at some point? Honestly, the answer is yes. Do I want him to return? I'm not so sure. And here's why. Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco has shown me that he's a quarterback that needs to be protected. I mean, and I think part of it has to do with the coach, Kyle Shanahan. Great offensive coordinator, but horrible when it comes to letting your quarterback play. And it showed in the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. You had one job to do. Let Jimmy G play. You protected him in the NFC title game. It was really the running game and your relentless pass rush for the San Francisco 49ers that really won them the NFC title game against Green Bay in 2019. That was what really won you the game. It wasn't the quarterback. And the quarterback got exposed in the Super Bowl because you needed to protect him. And it showed in that fourth quarter, you had a 20-10 lead and you couldn't even hold on. You couldn't trust that your quarterback was going to be able to make the plays down the field that he needed to make. And on top of that, you watched Patrick Mahomes across the sideline make plays in which that you wish Jimmy Garoppolo was able to make himself. I mean, exception of running while throwing across your body, throwing three quarters of an arm slot. I mean, those are things that makes Patrick Mahomes special, but Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know. I just find it interesting that now with the talk and the conversation that we've seen this week about Jimmy G. And in fact, even Steve Young came out and said the other day that I don't see how Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback for the Niners in 2021. Oh, When a Hall of Fame quarterback comes out and says that, and this is the same Hall of Fame quarterback that played for the Niners, knows the market, knows the region, knows the team, that is to be taken with some serious, serious weight. So now, if you're the Patriots and you're Bill Belichick, because at this point, the trust that was once there in the system, not really there right now. And it shows. When things go bad on a particular play or a particular drive, the mental toughness that had defined this organization for 20 years under Brady, you're not seeing it this much this season. How many times are we going to continue to use the excuse of COVID, COVID, COVID? That's a built-in excuse at this point. If that was the case, then why are teams like the Kansas City Chiefs flourishing? And don't tell me that a lot of it has to do with Patrick Mahomes, although it may be the truth. But the fact of the matter is, you go look at this at their receivers. Tyreek Hill, whew. Sammy Watkins, whew. They just added Le'Veon Bell to the running back. Whew. He can also catch balls out of the backfield. Man, oh man. But if you're New England, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo should be your answer. But if he is your answer, you give him 2 years. 2 years to show you what he can do. After all, let's say, for example, Patriots after this season, they let Cam Newton go. They go out and they acquire Jimmy Garoppolo. They bring him back to New England. He's back in a system and a head coach that knows him well. What do you say then? And if that were to happen, would I be against it? No. But I am really curious after what we've seen in San Francisco. How would that possibly translate here if that were to happen? Again, we're dealing with hypotheticals. Not saying it's something that is going to be a definite or will happen, we don't know. But those are just some things that I just have to think about and pose and talk about as part of the reasons why this team and this organization has some serious questions to ask at a critical juncture in time in which that so much has gone wrong for this team in 2020. For the New England Patriots that have had winning season after winning season with Brady as your one sure thing, and he is gone, is not even here. What do you do? You got the New York Jets coming up on Monday Night Football. And don't worry, I'll be talking about that game and where this team is, whether they win or lose, on next week's edition of the Strictly Right Show, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO. I'm interested in seeing what happens on Monday night, because my number one fear right now is that the Patriots lose to the Jets and they give them the first win of the season. If that were to happen, that would be an absolute new low for this team in 2020. They are already 2-5. Now at 2-6, with half the regular season games played, what now? What now? So that's going to be must-see TV just because you see the Patriots where they are at 2-5, the Jets at 0-8. Can you call this the toilet bowl of the AFC East? I would. I mean, I could. But that remains to be seen. We'll see what happens. Coming up next, thoughts on the NHL offseason and what next season could potentially look like. All of that coming up next right here on the Should Be Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. And this is Should Be Right. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Tuss Free Firm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app globally on WMFO.org.
This is the city where danger lurks. Today, a new creature walks among us, causing fear, mayhem, and injury.
Stay back, children.
Mommy, I'm scared.
Look out for the dreaded digital deadwalkers. They're not looking out for you. With faces pressed against their little handheld devices, they put all good citizens in harm's way.
Hey, pal.
Pardon you.
The digital deadwalkers are multiplying. Until their behavior patterns can be modified, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons warns all innocent people to stay alert. Better yet, to step up and speak out.
Oh, hey, dude, I'm walking here.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep everyone well connected with healthy bones.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn radio app globally on WMFO.org. Just want to remind everybody that you can listen to this show on demand on iHeartRadio at the conclusion of this broadcast. And also, I should have mentioned it at the beginning of this show that every Thursday from here on out, the show will be airing at 4 o'clock. The show will be airing at 4 o'clock from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. So if you're driving home from work on Thursday, tune into the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO, as well as you can listen on your smart speaker on WMFO. Just say, Alexa, turn on WMFO, and it will turn on. And as well as you will be able to listen to the show after on demand on iHeartRadio. You can listen to it on the Shukri Wright's podcast, which you can find on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor as well. Now, the NHL has come out with a proposal in which that they are going to seriously consider playing minimum 48 games this season and a max number of 65 games. Now, the original idea that was floating out there was that they were going to play 82 games. Now, I was all for it. And I said, yes, you know what? I'd love that. That would be great. But the more I thought about it, the more I said, you know, you play 82 games and the season starts in, let's say, January, right? That's going to take you to at least June when the season, regular season ends. We hadn't even talked about the Stanley Cup playoffs. That will basically be through the summer, essentially. So with that being said, I thought about it. I said, you know, 82 games may not be feasible for a league that is going to be looking to get back on track in terms of when they start season and as well as having fans back in the arenas and so forth. And then the other part of it is that, and I look at it with this perspective as well, 48 games. 48 game season is not unheard of in the NHL. But here's the thing. It's happened two other times in NHL history, 1994, 1995, and 2012-2013 seasons were 48-game seasons due to the strike. But we're talking about the actual shortened season because it was player strike, labor union issues. And now we're talking about a pandemic. That's the difference. And also, keep it in mind that when you think about the dynamics as to the 48 game season, you know, like why just 48 games? Part of it is this: the NHL knows and understands they don't want to lose any more money. They're figuring out, just even to begin with, to scheduling. How will that work? Will there be divisional or regional realignment for this season only because of COVID? That's also something that is going to be considered as well. So if you are the NHL and you are the front office, if you're Commissioner Gary Bettman, you're looking at this saying that, hey, you know, 48 games would be, you know, it will be less than ideal, fine, but it has been done before. Basically, what would happen is, regardless of whom you play, there will be a lot of back-to-backs. That is something in which that when you talk about this 2020-2021 season, which basically would technically be the 2021 NHL season, you're looking at this saying, 48 games. Now, 65 games would be great. You have 17 additional regular season games. You have more opportunity to get revenue. That's if local jurisdictions, like in different states, are allowing fans to be able to come back to games, watch the NHL, and so forth, you know, with socially distanced and so forth. Now, I'll even go as far as to put this on the table. You do 65 games. Great. Now, the question is Stanley Cup playoffs. When would that start? What would it look like? Because I'm willing to bet right now that Commissioner Gary Bettman, he's not looking to have the guys go back and play a bubble again. That was a one-time deal. He himself actually went on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, in Toronto, and I actually had the chance to listen to the interview. He said it that, no, they're not doing a bubble for the regular season. And I mean, for the Stanley Cup playoffs next year, no, that's not going to be the plan. So I wholeheartedly believe that if you are an NHL fan and you are a hockey fan, the questions that you should be asking is this: what will a shortened season next season look like? What would the scheduling look like? Will there be new regional rivalries as a result due to the realignment due to COVID? Those are all legitimate questions to be asked. And heck, you could even apply this for the Boston Bruins. How would next season look like? No one knows right now. We're talking strictly in terms of the dynamics, in terms of the NHL, in terms of how they want to go ahead and proceed in terms of planning the upcoming season. As far as what that looks like and what it will look like, your guess is only as good as mine's. I can't even begin to try to, you know, play guesstimate, if you will. I don't even think that's going to be possible. If push comes to shove, if you are the NHL, I think a 48-game season would make the most sense. Now, here's the reason why. Reason being is because I wholeheartedly believe that if you are going to have any sort of chance of getting the league back on its normal schedule in 2021, then a 48-game season is the best way to go about it. That's the only way. Because if you play 65 games, great, you have the opportunity to have more revenue and to be able to recoup the money that was lost, that which is great and phenomenal, but guess what? That means you're starting the 2021-22 season later than what you would want. But here's the thing. What I think that the NHL is going to do, and I just thought about this actually, the NHL is taking its time in terms of making a decision when they're going to start the season, because a big part of it is also this: the U.S.-Canada border issue. Now, the U.S.-Canada border is closed. It's been closed since the start of the pandemic. It's been closed for quite some time, as a matter of fact. And that basically, it is going to come down to the Canadian government. That's really what it's going to come down to. At what point do you reopen the border? At what point do you say, you know, we're going to have to make some sort of a decision. Now, I commend the Canadian government for doing its part and doing right by its citizens and protecting the citizens from the second surge that is already happening here in the United States. Now, in terms of the NHL, how are you going to plan around that? How are you going to deal with that? In fact, I think it's a great question to even ask. If the Canadian borders is to be closed through the new year, let's just say, for example, hypothetically, the U.S.-Canada border is closed through the new year, what does the NHL do in terms of its franchises that are based in Canada, like the Vancouver Canucks, the Calgary Flames, Edmonton Oilers, Winnipeg Jets, the Ottawa Senators, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Montreal Canadiens? What do they do? Do you group all seven of the Canadian franchises of the NHL in one division? You call them the Canadian division? I mean, I've heard rumblings about that on social media, but that remains to be seen. If that actually becomes an actual thing, who knows? That could be one thing, but also divisional alignments, realignments based on geography to eliminate the cost of travel. That could be another factor as well. Let's say teams in the South, the NHL teams in the South, for example. Let's say, you got the Washington Capitals. You got the Carolina Hurricanes. You got the Florida Panthers. And you got the Tampa Bay Lightning. And as well as you got the Nashville Predators. All regional in the South. What if that's your one division right there? Now, let's look at the Northeast. You got the Philadelphia Flyers. You got the New Jersey Devils. You got the New York Islanders. You got the New York Rangers. You have the Boston Bruins. That's your Northeast division right there. And by the way, none of the ideas that I'm mentioning now are anything that's remotely official, but I'm just throwing out the idea that the divisions in 2021 for the NHL could be solely based upon geography to cut costs for travel. Because you know something, I had the chance to listen to Hockey Central, and I'm a big, big fan of Brian Burke. Very big fan of his. Love his on-air work on both Sportsnet and Sportsnet Radio in Canada. He talked about how the financial impact of the COVID has forced the league to really think about everything, big and small, cost of travel, in which previously it was never thought about. But now because of COVID and because of the financial loss that the league has suffered due to the pandemic, that is something that they are now looking at, and they're looking to cut corners in any which way possible. And I don't blame them. So if you are an NHL fan listening to the show, I will tell you that honestly, you never know. Expect the unexpected in terms of how the NHL may potentially realign things in 2021. That's a very real possibility. And it's something that I think that the NHL would be very smart in doing and very smart in handling how they want to go about this. Because after all, there's a lot at stake here. We're talking financially and as well as the safety of the players, because the players, I wholeheartedly believe, they absolutely do not want to have to go through another bubble. They don't. They don't want to have to go through it. The bubble is not for everyone. This isn't the Stanley Cup playoffs. And if anything, at one point, I do believe that the league is going to go back to playing in its home arenas. It may actually be at the start of the upcoming season. That's a very real thing. Very real thing. But as to how the NHL may handle the U.S.-Canada border issue, that is a big part of their decision-making right now. Only time will tell, and that is part of the reason why you've heard absolutely nothing as to when the season will start. That's one reason why. And I think it's a very important reason why. Because, again, we are now in the midst of a second surge here in the United States. And the Canadian government, they're not willing to let anybody travel in or travel out unless it's for essential reasons. The NHL is no exception there. But time will tell as to how it all unfolds and what is going to happen next. Coming up next, final thoughts, right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Touch Me From Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Of teens said that social media hurts their confidence.
70% of girls with low self-esteem won't be assertive in stating their opinion.
We're posting inspiring content on social media to raise girls' self-esteem.
For more information, visit
mediagirls.org.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. As a reminder, at the conclusion of this broadcast, you'll be able to listen to the show on demand on iHeartRadio. You can search it up on the Shukri Wrights podcast on iHeartRadio, also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. And as well as catch the show every Thursdays now from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. And it's time for final thoughts right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, you are going to have 60 musical minutes with Maggie with DJ Mags. That's coming up next. Going to be a great show. And I'm telling you right now, usually I talk about sports during the final, during the final minute or so of final thoughts, but actually I'm going to dedicate this specifically to DJ Maggie, because I was brought some information from last week that you left a very incredibly thoughtful and sweet message for me on the airways at the beginning of your show, and I had the chance to listen to it. And DJ Maggie, you are absolutely amazing at what you do. Thank you so much for the very sweet, thoughtful, kind message about the day that you and your co-host came into the studio. That was something that was very much unexpected. And I want to take the time out to thank you as you begin your show coming up in just a matter of moments, for that very sweet and thoughtful message. So thank you. Have a great show. 60 minutes with DJ Maggie. 60 musical minutes with DJ Maggie is coming up shortly. So don't change that dial. Great show coming up. Talk to you again next week. This is Shukri Wright signing off. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app globally on WMFO.org. I'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, gang, so chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an